The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Penn State, I mean, Mike, they're up 10-0 in that game, and I'm going, oh, this might get out of hand. And then all of a sudden, Notre Dame answers. Backup quarterback leads them down to a field goal before the half, and then they make the adjustments and come out. It was a different animal in the second half. Tonight we get Ohio State and Texas. It is the Cotton Bowl as the bowls are tied in. Obviously, last night was the Orange Bowl, and we're going to get into to these games here coming up. But, man, last night, and you said this when we started the show, and big shout-out to Mike Conte. He was down there at the game, obviously a Penn State alum, and I know he's hurting today because it feels like they let that one get away from him.
Yeah, and a lot of folks now are kind of doing a deep dive, Carl, on some of the things that Penn State did. Like, here's the game-winning field goal. Maybe have everybody on the line of scrimmage. They got two guys in the back. Like, what are you doing? You're going to wave your arms at the kicker? So there's a few things now that are starting to come up saying, for instance, the Drew Aller decision to let's try to go down the field before the end of regulation. And some folks are saying, look, and you brought this up earlier, he hasn't shown you anything all game. So how are you going to expect this guy to now do something? They had two timeouts, and it was under about 40 seconds left. So a lot of folks say, look, take your lumps, just take a knee, go to overtime and take your chances and just reestablish the run game. But they didn't. And Drew Aller, I mean, a lot of folks saying whatever chances he had of being a first-round pick are completely gone. Now, I don't know. NFL scouts evaluate a guy for one game or another, but – I mean, look, C.J. Stroud looked like the best player on the field that semifinal loss to Ohio State to Georgia. Remember Mercedes-Benz? I thought Drew Aller looked terrible. I mean, he just didn't look like anything in that second half with the game on the line.
No, and when you can't, you know, find open receivers down the field for explosive plays, it was all game long. And that's why at the end of the game, this is, again, we've had this discussion about management and clock management and all this stuff. You got to read the room. And for me, James Franklin didn't read the room as, here's what I'm going to try to do. We need a field goal, right? I mean, like, seriously, right? Like, I don't need my quarterback dropping back and trying to make plays that he's been unable to make the entire game. And so that's why I put the blame on Franklin. Now, maybe I'm a little biased. I just have a hard time for anybody telling me he's a great coach when he is 4-20 versus top 10 teams. So that tells me every time there is a big game, whether it's at home or on the road, his team doesn't show up. And so last night, ultimately, you know, everybody wants to talk about the quarterback, and that was a big deal. But the coach didn't put him in position. Run the football. You guys had success early. Make some adjustments. Try to get in field goal position and don't put that pressure on him. And then he doesn't deliver and everybody goes, oh, he threw a bad ball, which he did. But that's where your coach has to manage the situation, Mike. And I don't think he did that.
Couple other notes from the game. I thought the refs, and this is the same officiating crew that played that did the Georgia-Notre Dame game down in New Orleans, I thought they were terrible. I thought the pass interference, a totally underthrown ball, and they throw the pass interference, which, again, that helps Penn State to tie the game. I thought that was some jive. Also, a lot of folks, and this is something, you're getting more of this coming out of Philadelphia and Penn State Nation, that was Riley Leonard truly okay to come back in the game with a concussion? You know, he did the post-game interview where he's like, I forgot your question, and they're like, oh, they go, that's it, he's concussed. No, I mean, he's excited. His teammates are celebrating, but leave it to Philadelphia. I mean, that part of the Penn State Nittany Lion Nation to say that, wait a minute, how the hell did he get out of the concussion?
I think they fibbed on that. I just do. I think the moment was too big, and they were not going to not allow him to come back into the game. Now, I hate it because, again, you know, I will say this, if that was your team, and they're not. I don't like Notre Dame. But if it was, wouldn't you say, you better put our quarterback back out there? That's the only chance we're probably going to have a chance to win. So I think they fibbed on that, Mike.
I don't know how it works in the NFL. You've got to have, you know, the independent doctor who goes and I don't know if it was their own staff, the Notre Dame staff. Who's the guy? You picture some Irish guy with a cigar. Yeah, he's fine. Get him back out there. Yeah, go win for the Gipper. But anyway, Riley Leonard comes back. He did throw two picks in the game. I thought one of the crucial moments, and they may have punched it in otherwise, but the Jeremiah Love second and third effort with three guys on his back to get in the end zone, that was a hell of a play. And another guy that I would say that, you know, certainly, you know, we talked about being big for Penn State defensively. They've got so many athletes. You know, there's so many dudes that just I was saying, like, wow, is one of these guys going to be the next Micah Parsons? I don't know about that, but certainly
they got a lot of guys,
some studs on the defensive side. Right,
they
right.
do. I think they got two potential first rounders up front. I do with their defense. Real quick, and then we'll talk about Ohio State and Texas. Big O, let me hear James Franklin about the costly mistakes. This is him after the game. And again, Drew Allert talked about, you know, his mistake as well, and the kid owned it, and, you know, it's what you do in those moments. But the head coach, again, I think you gotta know, like, and if you don't get it, right, you play defense, like, you're going overtime, like, you give yourself another chance. Don't say, hey, I need you to throw the ball 20 yards or whatever it might be, when we've not done that the entire game. We've not been able to find a wide receiver. Right. Here's Franklin on the mistakes.
I love every guy in that locker room. I love every person in that locker room. Proud of them. Played our tails off tonight. Obviously, we made too many mistakes that were costly. Give Notre Dame credit, and we'll learn from this, and we'll be better.
Well, the good news is, I think for the Big Ten is, you know, you still have Ohio State alive. Obviously, Penn State was in the mix. They still have another chance to have one of their representatives in the national championship game. And I hope that's not the case, because I want Texas to win. But, Mike, as we shift gears, here's what we know about Ohio State. They're hot. They beat Tennessee and Oregon by 3 scores apiece. They destroyed their competition. Longhorns have been a bit more less complete, should I say. That's the word I'll use. They, you know, again, Arizona State, they had a lead. You go into double overtime. They played Clemson at home. That was a game because they kept allowing Clemson to score. It hasn't felt like this Ohio State run where they just demolished Tennessee and they had better players and just beat the hell out of Oregon by 3 scores, which I don't think anybody expected. Well, what do you expect tonight? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game, even though you just touched on the great defense. Is Sarkisian going to learn from the past shortcomings against Georgia and just the way they nearly gave it up to Arizona State back at Mercedes-Benz? Because to me, Texas has got everything that all the other teams have that have gotten this far, but to me, is the killer instinct there, for lack of a better word, Carl, stepping on the throat, pedal to the metal. You know, it just seems like they let teams stay back in these games. And Ohio State, are they going to come out throwing haymakers? And how are they going to get the Ohio State offense off schedule and create some third and longs, which are going to create, you know, create some real situations where the defense can capitalize? As I said yesterday, I think the whole country's feeling this way. It's hard not to be blown away by what Ohio State did to Oregon. The good news for Texas is it's kind of a de facto home game. How's the weather, by the way, in Dallas? Everybody can be there right after the storm rolled through.
Yeah, I mean, it's like here. I think they've cleared the roads. You've got some, you know, stuff still lingering. They compared it to 2011 when they had, you know, snow and ice on the roof of the stadium, right, and then it slipped off and hurt people. But they know how to deal with that now, because they weren't sure how that was supposed to be dealt with. It should be fine, from what I'm hearing, and there are lots of Horns fans that had made the trip up there anyway, and, you know, there's a lot of Horn fans, period, in Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of business there, but you're right.
Right.
Look, they beat Tennessee and Oregon by a combined score of 83-38. That's how dominant Ohio State has been in these two games. And then here's my concern about Texas tonight, even though, I hope they win. Mike, you talked about Sark. They didn't run the ball in the Peach Bowl in that win against Arizona State. 53 yards on 30 carries. That's not going to get it done against this Ohio State team. And then you say, okay, great, they got one of the nation's best defenses, which they do. But the problem is, you allowed Arizona State and Clemson to pass the ball, and Ohio State's passing game is better to allow them to get back in the game, specifically Arizona State and even Clemson on your home field. Those are the things that concern me, even if Texas gets a lead. And so I'm a little, you know, nervous. I'm like, okay, yes, I'm with you. Maybe a high-scoring game. What are we talking about, guys? I don't know, 31-27. I don't know, 34-27. Something like that is what I'm thinking this game may be. But it's just hard right now for me to look at this Ohio State team, as much as I hate it, and say they're going to go out and Texas is going to dominate. They ranked second, I'm talking about the Longhorns, nationally with 21 interceptions. Can they do that tonight? Because I think that's the kicker, Mike. You got to pick the ball off. You're fourth in sacks in the country, Texas is. Can you get to the quarterback? If those things happen, that's why I said I think this game is won on the defensive side.
And how do you disrupt what has become this? And again, why this wasn't used against Michigan, I have no idea. But Jeremiah Smith looks like, you know, everything that Marvin Harrison Jr. was, or even maybe better. But how do you keep, you know, Will Howard from connecting with this guy and taking that away? Because Jeremiah Smith's the kind of guy, when he gets hot, can take the game over. And that's kind of like what happened against Oregon. So, yeah, and then, you know, how does Texas deal with the pressure? I joked around with you the other day, if it comes down to a field goal, do you trust Carrot Top to not screw this thing up? I mean, and it's almost like Ryan Day, you know, it's like, you know, yeah, you guys ready to run me out of town. I'm not saying he's playing with house money, but I mean, there's a swagger with the Buckeyes that certainly did not exist, obviously, in light of the Michigan loss, but later in the season.
It's going to be interesting. And by the way, you should want Texas to win as well, because now they're in the SEC. And that means the SEC is still being represented in the national championship game. I know it feels weird. It's different, but for all this Big Ten conversation, and especially last night, Mike, with Notre Dame winning, I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so over it. You use the word chirp all the time. Can you imagine Ohio State? Ohio State fans are going to roll in here, you know, that weekend of January 20th when the national championship is played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm telling you, they travel well. That's a given. But they're going to be so like, oh, and to win it here in Atlanta? Ah, come on.
Yeah, man, look, I told you, I've never been a fan of Notre Dame. We covered it. As a matter of fact, Carl and I both took Penn State yesterday, so we're going to have one loss in the column for this week already.
Well, that but it looks so it good in like, the first half. That's why I blame Franklin.
You just start to feel that maybe, I don't know, Marcus Freeman's got some mojo, man. Like, you know, and it's all the bad juju that's left with Brian Kelly. You know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like Notre Dame just I don't want to, again, get over the top on it, but just they got some good things going with that defense. And if Riley Leonard can if he can just cut down on the bad decisions, then, yeah, they can hang. I just felt that last night, you know, watching that at halftime, you're saying, oh, man, whoever wins the Ohio State-Texas game is going to beat both of these guys. Maybe Notre Dame has something to say about that.